Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Afcons Infrastructure Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call of Afcons Infrastructure Limited. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Krishnamurthy Subramanian, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Paramasivam Srinivasan, Managing Director, Mr. Ramesh Jha, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Hitesh Singh, Head Corporate Strategy. At this point, I'll hand over the floor to the management for their initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Krishnamurthy Subramanian speaking to you. I am pleased to welcome all of you to the maiden earnings conference call of Afcons Infrastructure Limited. Our financial results and investor presentations have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you had a chance to review them. Joining me today, Paramasivam Srinivasan, Managing Director, Ramesh Jha, Chief Financial Officer, and Hitesh Singh, Head Corporate Strategy. At the outset, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to all our shareholders for the support in making our IPO a success. We have consistently set ourselves apart through the quality of our projects and dedication to timely completion. In the post-IPO phase, we aim to demonstrate the same distinction. Our mission of total satisfaction and enhanced value creation for all stakeholders now would extend to public markets. Talking about performance, I am pleased to share that Afcons has achieved robust financial and operational results for Q2 and H1 of FY25, showcasing highest-ever EBITDA, PAT, and order book. Our EBITDA margin for Q2 FY25 reached a record high of 13.8%. For H1 FY25, EBITDA margin improved by 200 basis points to 12.7% compared to the previous year. Over the past 3 years, we have made substantial progress in enhancing our EBITDA margins, moving from sub-10% level to over 11% in FY24. PAT for Q2 FY25 grew by 30% year-on-year, reaching 4.4%, while H1 FY25 PAT rose by 16.3% year-on-year to 3.6%. Our total income for Q2 FY25 stood at 3,090 crores, while the H1 FY25 figure was 6,303 crores. There is a marginal drop in revenue on a year-on-year basis. This is on anticipated lines because, one, our order book was muted for the last 2 years, which was consistently calibrated because of bank guarantee constraints. Also, the general elections, because of which we faced delays in bill certification and payments from select customers. And also, there was an impact of a severe monsoon in some of the projects. Due to these reasons, the debt also increased, and these aspects will be explained in detail by our CFO, Mr. Ramesh Jha. As of September, our order book stood at 34,152 crores, of which we have received an order inflow of 8,925 crores in the first half of the year, along with L1 bids amounting to 10,154 crores. With a robust pipeline, proven ability to complete the project within timelines, and consistency in delivering high-quality construction, our company enjoys competitive advantage and solid revenue visibility in the next few financial years. Now, let me speak about the sector growth prospects. India is poised to be the fastest-growing construction market globally, expected to reach $38.5 trillion in FY28, by FY28. With the Indian government's focus on enhanced infrastructure spending, it is anticipated the industry will grow at a CAGR of 10% between FY23 and FY28. Furthermore, in the construction markets in the overseas regions where we operate, they are expected to outpace most major global markets from 2024 to 2033. With a strong domestic and international presence, we are poised to tap into these abundant growth opportunities. As we move forward, our stakeholders will not only benefit from strong financial returns, but also the impact that we would create on the nation and its people through the projects that we would be executing. We remain committed to our mantra of sustainable, profitable growth by maintaining our order book, maintaining matching execution capabilities, rationalizing costs, improving execution efficiencies, and consistently developing capabilities and capacity for project delivery. I take this opportunity to hand over the call to our Managing Director, Mr. Paramasivan Srinivasan, to introduce Afcon's infrastructure to all participants and offer a deeper understanding about us and our future path. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Subramanian. It has been, I would say, a great journey, Afcon's. And first, welcome all of you for the session today. Being the first earnings call by Afcon's, I would consider it a privilege to take you through briefly on what Afcon's is all about, so that there is a clarity as to which company we are looking at. Afcon's is a 65-year-old construction company, having been formed in the year 1959 with the Rodio of Switzerland and Hazratan Company of joining together as Rodio Hazratan Company. And sometime in 1973, when Foreign Exchange Regulation Act was introduced in India, Rodio wanted to exit India. That was the point when employee-led consortium paid off Rodio, took over the company, and it became an employee-owned company with the Hazratan Company stake. So Rodio Hazratan Company became Asia Foundation and Construction Limited in 75-76. Then Afcon's continued to do well. They used to have huge bank deposits at any point of time, and it went on. Sometime in the early 90s, for the funding needs of the company, when Afcon's in the 80s entered into the road segment, there was huge funding needs for equipments and all. So early 90s, they placed shares with SICI, Shipping Credit Investment Corporation of India. And subsequently, in the second half of 90s, Afcon's again placed shares with ICICI. When SICI merged with ICICI, ICICI was holding 47.3% stake in Afcon's. When 2000 ICICI was going for an ADR issue, they have to necessarily consolidate or exit. That was the time. Shapoorji Pallonji paid off ICICI, took over 47.3%, and later issued this thing, open offer and other thing for the employees. Subsequently, as needed, they pumped in funds. Before this IPO and offer for sale, Shapoorji Pallonji was holding 99.5% in Afcon's with 0.5% with employees and ex-employees. During the course of placing the share, sometime in 96, the name of the company from that of Asia Foundation and Construction was changed as Asia Afcon's Infrastructure Limited. That is the genesis of the name also. And once Afcon's was, in 2000 when Afcon's was taken over, Mr. Cyrus was responsible for this organization, and he played an important role in structuring the whole thing as a professionally run company with ownership and management are kept separately. So he followed a model that there will be a management which will run the show and there will be an owner, and that model has worked very well in the case of Afcon's. As Afcon's, if you look at it over the last two decades, we have grown over 18% CAGR over a 20-year time frame, if you look at it, and which is unprecedented. On a consistent 18% CAGR in an Indian context is something which is very, very unique. And if you take even last 5 years, we have a CAGR of around 16% on an enhanced base. So with that kind of growth, we are poised to maintain the growth at 15-16% CAGR over a medium to longer term. And Afcons also decided few other things along the way. One, we did re-entry into overseas market. Afcons used to work in the overseas market in the past. In 70s, it worked in Iraq, then Eritrea, which currently in Eritrea, part of Ethiopia, then Oman, Sri Lanka, quite a few countries. But post-1993, Afcons had stopped working in overseas market. 2005, Afcons re-entered into overseas market. And last about close to two decades, we have done close to about 70 projects abroad. And quite, I would say, most of the projects have been delivered on or ahead of schedule to the satisfaction of the clients, resulting in recurring orders from many customers. And Afcons is present in practically all infrastructure segments, and our business is split into five verticals. Urban infrastructure, which consists of elevated metro, underground metro, and bridges. There is a surface transport, which is roads and rails. And there is a hydro and underground, which consists of tunnels, NATM tunnels, dams, water projects, barrages, all that. And we have marine and industrial, which does substantially wharves, jetties, ports, and other LNG tanks, similar. And oil and gas, these are our various segments. And in terms of looking at the time of Afcons starting the work, when Shapurji took over, Afcons had an average order size of about 27 crores. Today, our average order value is in excess of 1500 crores. And that is the situation. In our case, on order book, we will always have an annual guidance, not a quarter-on-quarter guidance, for the simple reason, so few orders could change the composition of the order book. Therefore, we are looking at an annual order book guidance in general and not quarter-on-quarter order book this thing, because orders could spill over to different quarters and a single order value could be very different. Today, our biggest value of the order is about 5,700 crores. So if you take that kind of an order book, it can heavily skew. Therefore, order book guidance will be on an annual basis. And we have always been maintaining, Afcons, for the sake of your information, we are a five-star export house as characterized as per the new policy guidelines of government of as per policy guidelines of government of India. We have already got a five-star export house status, and that recognizes our consistent export performance. Over a period of last several years, we have been having about 70-30 ratio in terms of turnover, while our current pending order book is skewed towards domestic order book. In due course of time, we are sure we will move to 70-30 ratio between domestic and overseas market. Significantly, Afcons has been rated by Engineering News Record on a consistent basis. As per Engineering News Record statistics of 2023, we are the 10th largest marine player in the world, 12th largest bridge player in the world. In both these categories, there is no other Indian construction company within the top 25. And in aquadecks, we are the 18th largest. In overall transportation, we are the 42nd largest. So these are significant achievements. And ENR categorizes the turnover outside of the home country. So whatever these numbers reflect, these are reflecting the turnovers outside the home country for all the companies it is seeing. So in terms of, and wherever we have worked, is another significant aspect is due to our engagement with the local populace in the respective countries by multiple manners. One, by engaging them as our employees, by workmen, by engaging them as subcontractors, by involving into large-scale CSR activities. Afcons had, wherever it had gone, had created a niche and in the process enhanced the image of India in such countries. That is a very significant thing. Wherever we have worked, more and more works are offered, or at least there is an intention to give more works to the Indian companies in such kind of country. We could create a difference in that manner. And we also follow a good HR practices. That's something which we will cover in the later part. In terms of competitive advantages, if you look at it, Afcons has got a strong risk management practice. In fact, we have a practice of go, no-go in any project. We have a standard formula while we look at it. If the project is all the cash flow, number one, we look at the client risk. If the client is risky, we don't participate. And if in terms of the second we look at it, the project should be cash flow positive also. If substantial payments is going to come towards the end of the project is going to be cash flow negative, we generally try to avoid participating in such projects. Then third, we look at the capex expenditure. Fourth, possible competition. So with all these, if you look at it, over a longer tenure of 20 years, if you look at it, we have a hit ratio of around 18%. If you look at the last 4 years ratio, we have a hit ratio of in excess of 22%. So, which clearly conveys that practically every 4 to 5 jobs, we bag one job. That is something which is significant. And we have a robust contract management system. Therefore, we are construction companies have to handle disputes as a part of its body politic. Therefore, we have a well-developed contract management team towards that. And in terms of knowledge management practices, globally we are recognized as the best. In terms of knowledge management, we are rated as the most admired or innovative knowledge enterprise for 8 years in succession at India level, Asia Pacific level, and global level. It will not be out of place to mention that no other Indian construction company have won this award even for 1 year. So that recognizes the value of knowledge management and this thing. Typically, companies in the IT sector or companies like NASA, Google, in India if you take TCS, Tech Mahindra, Infosys, Wipro, these are the companies, they win these kind of awards. So knowledge management practices is something which is very unique to Afcons and probably the only construction company to have a chief knowledge officer in our roles. And we have an excellent strategic equipment base. And in certain sectors, we have fantastic base of strategic equipment. Marine equipment, if you look at it, we have a largest marine equipment base. And if you look at tunnel boring machines, we own 16 tunnel boring machines, 4 are on the way. With this kind of thing, we believe we are strategically well positioned for a sustainable medium to long-term growth. And we follow the strictest governance standards. Sometime in 2006-07, Afcons wanted to list initially. That directly was filed, approved, everything. Later on, we withdrew that. And from that time onwards, we have been operating with good independent director and properly board governed. And one of the probably few companies to be completely professionally managed. And therefore, we have a strong governance structure and long-standing senior management team. Our average senior management team experience is about 23 years. And going forward also, we are looking at continuing to focus on complex, large value jobs and continue to have overseas presence. And we will continue to focus on knowledge management, risk management practices at all levels. Before I hand over the thing to my colleague, Mr. Ramesh Jha, for taking through the financials, I'll just give an overview of where we stand on the order book. As of 30th September, our order book stands at 34,152 crores. Excluding L1 projects, 10,154 crores is L1 project. We have since received a couple of jobs. So now it's around 7,700 crores is L1 as of now. This order book is well diversified across various infrastructure verticals, clients and geographies. Currently 80% of our order book is from government clients. It is approximately split between 50-50 between center and state. And we have currently a stable government at the center, and with the recent election results of Maharashtra, we are poised to have a stable government in the state as well. And so we look forward to in the stable government in Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, all are stable governments. So we believe we have a good period ahead in this thing. We are also looking at in the overall order book, the government's focus on in the infrastructure vertical. We are well positioned to capture that market appropriately. Typically, comfortable to have between 2.5x to 3.5x for book-to-bill ratio, primarily because we believe below 2x creates order booking pressure, above 4x creates execution pressure. That is how we want to operate going forward as well. We will continue to be selective in picking our orders, and we will continue to say no also in some of the good orders which people consider as good order, or this thing if the commercial terms are not appropriate to us. So these are things which we follow. And to provide a full insight on the financial performance, I now request our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ramesh, to take.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just to take you through the financials in detail. In the second quarter, we have done 3,090 crores of top line, as compared to 3,433 crores done in the previous Q2 FY24. And as far as half-yearly numbers are concerned, we have done 6,303 crores as against 6,655 crores. So there is a marginal drop in top line of around 5%. And this decline is on the anticipated lines because our order book was muted in last 2 years, which was consciously calibrated by us because we were having bank limits constraint. Also this year, because of general elections, we faced delays in our bill certifications and payment from select customers, and there were impact of a severe monsoon in some projects. Having said this, generally we do 40-45% turnover in the first half, and we are very much there as far as our annual plan is concerned. In the total revenue, when I have talked about, we have considered other income also, and our other income needs to be understood in the perspective of business, wherein we have explained that major contributors of our other income are arbitration award, foreign currency exchange gain, and miscellaneous incomes. And they are recurring in nature, and they are a very much integral part of our business. So that we consider as part of, you know, they are our other operating income. Now moving on to the margins, for the quarter we have done 427 crores of EBITDA in absolute terms, and in terms of percentage we have done 13.8%, which is one of the highest in the company. With this, as compared to previous year in the same quarter, we had done 394 crores. So this year the number was for the quarter was 8.5% higher. For the half year ended, we have done 799 crores of EBITDA, which is 12.9% higher than the previous years of 708 crores. The EBITDA for the half year is around 12.7%, and this has improved by more than 200 basis points if we compare the same number of the previous half year. As far as profit after tax is concerned, for the quarter we have done 135 crores, which is 30% higher than the similar quarter for the last financial year. Whereas for the half year, we have done 227 crores of PAT, which is 3.6%, and this is 16.4% higher than the same for the last financial year half year. Now, when we talk about this, the numbers have, these profitability numbers have contributed in enhancing our net worth. Our net worth has reached close to 3,800 crores, to be very precise, 3,794 crores. And in this period, in line with, you know, generally the trend we face, the first half the year wherein bill certification and payments are not up to date. We saw the similar trend this year as well. We saw an elevated working capital requirement this year. This year also our working capital in September was at an elevated level. But this year it was further amplified because of the general elections related less traction in some of the sections. And some customers, the bills were not getting certified and payments were not forthcoming. But we are seeing the situation slowly improving. Hopefully, year end we see much improved situation. The improved, this enhanced working capital requirement has contributed to our debt, which has increased during H1 of FY25. Our debt increased as we saw limited traction with some of the customers and there were delays in certifications of bill, leading to jump in working capital requirement as I explained. We had to fund those projects to run the operations. Generally, this trend remains every year wherein bill certification and payments are not up to date. So we see an elevated working capital requirement and borrowing in Q2 generally, I am saying. But this year it was further amplified. So the net debt, we have closed the September with 2,640 crores. And on the net debt basis, our debt to equity was around 0.7. And because of 40 to 45% of turnover only, which happens in the half year, and this elevated working capital requirement, the capital employed in the business has gone up, and that has impacted the return what we achieve annually. So the return on capital employed was around 16.5%, which generally is in line with the number we do it for the half year. But as things improve in the second half, we see that these numbers will go back to the levels we had achieved for FY24 as well. Now moving on, and also I would like to highlight that these returns on say capital employed or the return on equity needs to be looked at on an annual basis only. As far as capital equipment addition is concerned for the half year, we have looked, since our order booking got shifted during the year, so the capital addition also has got shifted in line with the project we will be looking at. With this, I think order book MD has already explained. So I conclude my remarks on the financials, and I thank all the esteemed stakeholders, including our employees, business partners, vendors, auditors, bankers, for their wholehearted support in the long-term growth journey of AFCONS. On behalf of AFCONS, I thank everyone for attending this call. Now I request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participant, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for your time. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the top line, which did degrow about 10-11% in Q2, if you could help us understand, the split between domestic and export growth. And secondly, within domestic, while we understand because of elections, monsoons, all these factors which you highlighted leading to this kind of a slowdown on execution, how are you seeing things kind of shape up in the second half? Are you starting to see a pickup, now that, monsoons are over, so are we starting to see things kind of getting back in shape and therefore second half being significantly better? Yeah.
I will answer the second part of the question. First part of the question, breakup will be given by my CFO. I am Parameshwan here. In terms of second half of the year, we would expect for the year top line flat to normal. That is what we had indicated this thing. And considering the previous 2 years of calibrated order growth, we had this thing, we will have a flat to growth in the top line in the current year. While we look forward to in 26, while if we consider including L1, we are fully booked for our 100% of our order book is in place for 26. And for 26, we expect 20 to 25% growth comfortably from the current position. As I conveyed earlier, our medium to long-term CAGR, we would maintain at 15 to 16%. That is the general guidance. Ramesh, you would like to give him clarification on export and domestic turnover?
Yeah, so as far as the turnover for the half year is concerned, 29% was from overseas market and 71% was from the domestic market.
So I was referring to the growth rate. While I understand the split between the two, I was trying to understand what was the growth rate between domestic and exports.
So, see, as far as growth is concerned, since the pending order, whatever we were having, we expect the same trend to continue in the range of, say, around 30% from the overseas market and 70% from the domestic market. The balance here.
Okay, fair. Okay, fair. Secondly, sir, on the order inflows, you know, as you highlighted, we've got about 9,000 odd crores in the first half plus the L1. So, you know, how much are you targeting for the full year? And also, if you could help us understand which are the key end segments where you're getting these orders from? Are these more domestic? Are these more exports? You know, some more color there. And also, what is your order pipeline? If you could give us a number, how is that looking like? If you have that in with you.
In terms of order book, we have, including L1, you would have observed, we have in excess of 20,000 already. We had, at the beginning of the year, we had set ourselves a target of 20,000 crores, which we have practically crossed for the year if we, all the L1 jobs come into our kitty.
Mm-hmm.
We have already submitted quite a few bids, and we are submitting further bids, and therefore we expect a further order booking of not less than 5,000 crores. Okay, and taking that into consideration, it will be safe to assume that we may be booking an order for the whole year of 25,000 crores, which will be the highest in the history of Afghans. Before that, one of the years, two, 3 years before, Afghans had booked 17,400 crores, which was the highest ever order book Afghans ever had. So with this order book, it's not only 26 revenue visibility is in place, there is substantial revenue visibility for 27 as well with that. And in terms of this year, of the orders booked, substantial orders are from the domestic market, and therefore the current pending order mix is shifted slightly to about 85-15 between domestic and overseas. While this is a temporary phenomena, going forward, we would like to sustain a 30-15. In the short term, 1 or 2 years, it could be 75-25 because of more domestic orders.
Mm-hmm.
This is in terms of order booking pipeline, I request Mr. Hitesh Singh, our head of strategy, to take you through.
Yeah, hi, Ankur. In terms of order pipeline, generally we keep a track of around next 2 years of visibility. So in terms of our total addressable market based on the kind of project we focus on, that's a large value complex projects, we have an addressable market of around 3.2 lakh crores. And as visible in our current pending order book, similarly the available market is the highest in the urban infrastructure space. When I talk about urban, I am talking about underground metro, elevated metro and bridges put together. It is close to a lakh crore, that is the visibility we have, followed by surface transport, which is for us the rail and road business, which is around 60,000 crores, and marine and hydro, both we have around 50,000 crores each of visible order pipeline. And if we look at the overseas versus domestic, it's close to the same ratio which we generally target. Around 70% of our order pipeline or the visible order pipeline is around 70% from the domestic part and 30% is from the overseas market. So that's been the pipeline for us.
Fair. And just one last one before I get back into queue is on the operating cash flow. And then clearly, you know, that is about 400 odd crores negative for the first half. And I think, again, you did touch upon the reasons behind it. How do you see that for the full year? Can we expect cash flow to be positive and we generate a reasonable amount of operating cash flow for the full year? Would that be a reasonable assumption?
Yeah, we will be generating operating cash flow positive for the full year because as I explained that during first half year, generally the payments are not up to date and that gets updated by the year end. And also for the half year ended, we have not received any sizable advance which we generally receive. And there were recoveries happening for the earlier projects. So that's where the numbers are negative. But I think, you know, since we have got a number of projects, we will be getting those advances and that will help. And we will be getting, you know, the payments which were stuck. You know, October onwards, we are seeing improvement in payments from the customers. So we'll see a good cash flow for the full year.
Got it. Great. So all the best and thanks again.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, despite a negative top-line growth, we had a nearly 200 bps improvement in operating margins, EBITDA margins. Can you explain the reason for that and what can be the sustainable margins for the full year and going forward?
So see, as far as the margin for full year is concerned, we for FY24, we had clocked 11.6% and I think, you know, what we can talk about in terms of margin is our endeavor will be to maintain 11% plus margin. And coming back to your first question of the reason contributing the higher margin for the year, so the company is focusing on operational excellence and, you know, we are trying to contain our costs wherever possible. And so we are trying to rationalize our cost wherever possible and that has helped us to improve the margin. Also, during this period, we had an award wherein we got a sizable interest and that has also helped us to improve the margin.
So if we exclude the interest on the arbitration award, which is mentioned in the notes of results, then can we assume a normalized margin of 11.5%, which we had clocked last year?
Yeah,
is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it's already there. It's already there. I mean, it's there for anybody to calculate. So it's 11% plus.
And that is what is the sustainable margins going forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, so see, you know, what I'll say is we are into the business of construction and the margin in a quarter varies based on the nature, type and quantum of work executed. So quarterly results may vary in different quarter and may not be indicative of the annual result. So and construction is full of contingency. There could be some contingency which we may not be able to save. So our guidance will remain that we'll be clocking around 11% margin.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal from Sundaram AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So just one clarification. When you've given this 11% plus, this includes other income, am I right?
Yes.
Secondly, this other income, this 74 crores of interest income which we got, the cash has come in or this is on the accrual basis?
So the cash had not come before September, but subsequent period it has come.
Got it. And what was the forex gain, so to speak, translation gain in the first half, which is part of other income?
So forex gain in this half year was not a sizable portion. It was a very minuscule amount.
Okay, but because in the cash flow, it looks like it's around 75 crores. That's why I was trying to understand. Because there's a net foreign exchange difference.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
in other income, there is no foreign exchange gain.
Okay, got it. So this 190 crores of other income in the first half includes this 75 crores of arbitration income, and the rest will be miscellaneous income, am I right?
So the breakup of that other income is for the half year, we have got arbitration interest of around 93 crores, and we have got some projected loss which we account in any project that was, you know, that has been written back because we have already incurred those actual expenditures. So that is another aspect, and then there is a balance sheet miscellaneous income.
Got it. And lastly, sir, what is the CapEx plan for the second half of 25 and if possible for F26?
So see, for a specific number for the CapEx, you know, since we had for this financial year, we had planned a sizable CapEx related to, you know, we were buying 3 TBMs. Now, those 3 TBMs, we were expecting one of the TBMs to come before the half year, which has got shifted. So, you know, the number we were looking at for the full financial year, we are looking at a reduced number for the total capex for the year.
But if you can quantify that?
So it will be difficult to put a number at the moment because, you know, we'll have to see because some of the projects which we were expecting, say, by March or in the first quarter of June, so all those orders got shifted. So we'll try to, you know, optimize the utilization of those equipment, and as per the requirement, we'll try to plan it.
But if I have to put a number for next 6 quarters, right, let's say for rest of F25 and F26, what kind of capex? Is it fair to assume it will be roughly 3-4% of your revenues?
Generally, we try to maintain in that range only. The capex generally is in that range only of the top line.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So first question is on the Q2 being soft. You did give some broader perspective, but, you know, a little more detail if you can share which segments and which particular type of projects were more impacted. And more importantly, as we now are here almost in the end of November, how has the improvement happened, or if at all it has happened?
No, so specifically, if I can talk about then, water-related projects was one segment where we have seen less of traction. Generally, there was a bill certification and payment-related issues. So we had, three projects or so in that. And our project, like we are doing one project in Rajasthan, then couple of projects in Bihar, and some other projects where we, because of monsoon-related issues, we saw, the turnover going down.
Apart from water, anything significant, sir, which could have attributed to this slightly lower than expected performance?
So, see, as we said that generally we, in first half of the year, we generally do 40-45%. And we are largely there in terms of top line. So these were the projects where we had seen difficulties. Water projects and some of the projects, bridges project, where due to severe monsoon we could not work.
Sure, sir. Sorry. Also, there was a little bit disturbance, so I missed the number for FY25. You said for the revenue, you said flattish or something. I maybe missed.
So what we have talked about, what MD has talked about, that we are looking at a flat to a nominal growth.
Okay.
In terms of FY25, we are looking at a flat to nominal growth. And in terms of FY26, we will have 20-25% growth.
Yes.
And on a medium to longer term, we are looking at a CAGR of 15-16%.
Fair.
Which is what we have attained in the last 5 years.
And as far as EBITDA is concerned, we are looking at 11% plus.
Correct, sir. Also, for the L1 positions, we did say that the 10,000 odd crore number is now come down to 7,000 because maybe the LOAs have been received. So a broad color, if you can share on which are major orders in this L1 positions, and by when do you think that, these could be converted into firm orders?
The first part, Hitesh, can you take them through?
Sure. Ashish Hitesh here. So,
yes.
In terms of L1 order which are pending currently with us is two projects. One is Nagpur-Gondia package number 1 and Nagpur-Gondia package 2. Both are around 2,500 and 2,800 crores. And one project we have got in Vishakhapatnam for DRDO. That is around 954 crores. So that's where the L1 as on date is 6,402 crores. That is
There is one more. Bhopal Metro is also there.
Yeah, Bhopal Metro is additional.
This Bhopal Metro and Vishakhapatnam, we expect in another couple of weeks, by mid-December, we should have it in hand before that. Because it has gone for institutional approval, Bhopal Metro. It is ADB-funded job. Therefore, it has gone for ADB for approval. Here, it has gone to Navy for approval. So, both of these we expect by middle of December. In terms of Nagpur-Gondia Expressway, it's I think once the government formation is completed, they will go ahead with the process. The timing, I am not in a position to say, because there is a land acquisition-related payment is to be made. After making the payment, they will release this order.
Right, sir. And maybe just one last thing. What's the kind of order book which comes from Bangladesh at this point of time, and how's the execution on the ground on those projects?
On Bangladesh, we are doing 4 projects, 3 road projects and 1 railway projects. Out of which 1 road project, we had right from the beginning, we have maintained the position. That because the order itself was given after 19 months of the submission of bid. Therefore, without rate revision, we will not commence the work. So now the government is in the process of accepting it, and therefore, most likely, the order will be formally agreed to be foreclosed for that. That's a small job, around 600 crores. And the other 2 jobs, 1 job, there are 2 road jobs. Of these 2 road jobs put together, will be roughly around 600-700 crores balance work. And that is something which we will just about start. We are waiting for some payments to come from Government of Bangladesh and Government of India. It's all Government of India funded jobs. The other one, a railway project, is a joint venture between Afghans and KPTL. And there 50-50 is each. And there nearly about 60% is completed, I think. Hitesh, correct me. And the balance part of it is under execution. They are also giving land in bits and pieces. Therefore, it's going slow. And in terms of payment, as it is an Indian-funded job, we don't foresee any payment-related risk.
And also, so what's the outstanding value of this order, the railway one, for our share?
Railway and road put together, Ramesh or Hitesh, can you give the exact number? I don't have the number with me.
So, railway job for our portion of balance will be anywhere between around 300 crores or so.
Okay.
And also to add, in those contracts, since in between the work got stopped because of this unrest, contractually we are in a very strong position to get any compensation which needs to be raised.
And sir, in terms of outstanding receivable, is there anything sizable which is pending?
Not sizable. The receivables are very minuscule.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Say in the order inflows that we've had this year and in the last couple of years also, we've hardly got any hydrocarbons order. Even in the pipeline that we are speaking about, we're not looking at any oil and gas orders. So if you could just spell out what is really the strategy over there, is that a focus area for us, or we are likely to be staying away from that segment?
On hydrocarbon sector, EVC sir, you would like to respond or press respond?
Go ahead, Paramashir.
On hydrocarbon sector, we have kept this thing. We have been making presentations to the government and also to ONGC. we have requested for certain change in contracting methodology and also change in contract administration. And while we learned that it is in principle accepted, it is not put into action. So we have taken a position with respect to ONGC that till such time these corrections are made, we will not be submitting the bids. That is one of the reasons you find that some of the recent bids of ONGC offshore projects are all going on a single bid basis. And with respect to onshore, we will selectively participate as we find in general, whomever had worked in oil and gas sector in India, most of them have lost money. Therefore, we want to be very cautious in terms of our movement. Therefore, we are not looking at any big jobs in oil and gas. We are looking at smaller jobs in the onshore oil and gas, and offshore we will get into once the contracting methodology and contract administration pattern undergoes change.
In other words, when the environment of oil and gas undergoes a change, we are there because we already have done a couple of very high-tech projects. We are qualified to do so, but we want the environment to be in proper shape before we participate.
Perfect, perfect. That's very clear. So my second question is Middle East an area wherein we want to be penetrating over a period of time? Because as of now, our international presence is mainly in Africa.
Saudi Arabia would be a focus point. Param Chandra, I'll answer that. But Middle East, the main focus would be on Saudi Arabia, which is undergoing a good growth momentum at this point in time. But other areas would be very, very selective quoting and very specifically select projects only we will look at.
Middle East, in our experience, what we have found, Middle East is not giving an opportunity for a profitable growth. Number one, Middle East projects are by and large cash flow negative because there is a 10% cash retention. And the cash retention is paid after all the clearances are obtained, which one has to take some different 19 different agencies' approval. So for that, it takes 18 to 24 months for getting those NOCs towards getting the final payment retention and all out. Second, once there is a 10% advance, there is a 10% retention. And the payment time cycle is 28 days for the contractors, for the PMC to certify. And another 56 days for the payment, effectively it takes 4 months with holidays in between. Therefore, there is a cash flow negative all through the project. And taking all that, we have taken a call that we will be very selective. We will look at some select big projects where we will have some local partner who will manage the local environment and we will do only execution. Those are the kind of approaches we are following. This is other than Saudi. Saudi selected markets we will be definitely looking at, and some select big projects we will be looking at Middle East. That's what we are looking at.
Middle East, we may add another point, there is no proper dispute resolution mechanisms present.
Right.
So, overall, it's not very high on the priority list, but however, if some projects, we may look at it depending on its importance and criticality and the customer's willingness to modify the terms.
Understood. So, even Saudi, you are saying, is not very high on priority list. You'll be fairly selective even while approaching Saudi.
Saudi, we are very seriously looking at because of they are more open to the contractor's points.
And there also, we will look at select clients. We have identified our select clients who are known to perform a contract on time. So, such kind of clients will be only we will be looking at.
Understood, sir. And even for something like this, would we need a joint venture with a local partner? And would it be project-specific alliances, or are we looking at a more kind of a permanent solution to this?
We will generally look at project-specific joint ventures. In Saudi, we could look at a larger joint venture also. In other, typically otherwise, we look at project-specific joint ventures where we need.
Sir, just to add here, in Saudi, we have already incorporated an organization wherein we have taken a local partner to manage the local environment. So that company incorporation is already in place. And AFCONS will be 90% in ownership in that entity and 10% is a local partner.
Perfect, perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Kashkar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, post the IPO proceeds, what are our current debt levels, debt numbers, sir, both the long-term and the short-term debt?
So see, as far as debt is concerned, I think, you know, at the moment, if I can give you some color, we'll be on a net debt basis, we'll be sub 2,000 crores. And maybe bifurcation will be 50% will be long-term debt and 50% will be short-term debt in that.
Okay. And sir, what should be exit the year in terms of this debt number going where, in which direction?
So as we have talked about that in the second half, we'll be looking at a substantial improvement in our cash flow. So, you know, we'll look at a very significant improvement from the existing position.
Okay. So, can you give some color on the current maturities which we have that we will be repaying by the end of this fiscal?
So see, the term loans we have talked about in the range of say 1,000 crores odd, those are all long-term loans repayable over a period of say anywhere between, those are all 5 years, 8 years kind of a loan. So the repayments will not be that significant in this financial year. I don't have the exact numbers at the moment. And the working capital loan remaining 1,000 crores are all continuing facility which we avail and pay off as and when the surpluses arises. And those limits are always available. So we have got a very sizable bank limit which is available to us.
Sir, when we look at our employee cost as a percentage of sales and also the finance cost, taking into account the vagaries of monsoon for this quarter, as a year as a whole, what should be the percentage number which we should penciling in as employee cost and as finance cost as a percentage of sales?
So see, employee cost anywhere it will be on the overall year, it will be somewhere around 10.5% or so. And finance cost, it will be somewhere around 3.5% to 3.6%.
Okay, and for the long term, going ahead, in order to bring the efficiency and improve the margins, are these two variables monitorable? And do we look at a lower number going ahead, or do we find this as the historical and the industry averages only that we need to maintain for the continuity of business?
So as far as employee cost is concerned, the way management is looking at, we are looking at per employee turnover should go up, and that's where we are working on. So as things stands, we are expecting that in terms of percentage, it should come down. That is one. That's a medium term guidance. And as far as finance cost is concerned, I think, you know, in terms of percentage, it should further improve.
Our on the lower side, yeah.
Improvement is rather than directly attacking these cost components which come out of a project duration, improved project performance by way of earlier completion by our technology, knowledge management and the innovation practices would remain the driver. And naturally, all the components of cost would be impacted negatively, means with a reduction by the strategy.
Okay. So a small point on the water segment. I missed your commentary on the same. Can you elaborate what was the business environment and what portion of our order booking is towards the water segment and the scope of work for us?
Hitesh?
So see, as far as water segment is concerned, what we saw that ever since the elections were announced sometime in March, April, after that, you know, there was a complete lull in terms of activity with those agencies, and we had seen the bills were not getting certified, and there were no payment allocation from the ministry to respective state agencies which were executing the project. So payments were not forthcoming. And after the election result, there was a change in ministry and a new regime at the helm of the affairs. They were trying to understand the whole set of things, and it took a lot of time to get bills certified and paid. So that's the difficulty we were facing. And as far as
Currently the pending the drinking water supply projects will be around 1100 to 1200 crores in the pending order book.
Okay, so we are participating in this Jal Jeevan scheme and the Amrut scheme in with respect to our order book and execution.
Yes, Jal Jeevan we are participating, but our participation is limited as explained by Hitesh.
Sir, I missed your last comment.
Yeah, we are participating, but we are being cautiously. We are approaching this segment. It was a new segment for us.
So it is not a high technology segment, but it has a special value. So we are participating and helping in the process, but the exposure is limited.
Okay, sir. And last point on this, sir, we are also looking at Amrut 2 scheme being rejuvenated with interlinking of rivers being a major thrust from the government side going ahead. So what kind of opportunity do AFCON as an engineering concern find in this scheme of
We look at the opportunities very closely, and interlinking rivers, we are well positioned both in terms of our presence in marine segment and also in water and irrigation segment, and therefore we look forward to a significant jobs coming through the interlinking of rivers going forward.
Okay, sir, can you give the size of opportunity which we are looking forward going ahead?
Today we are not in a position to convey what is the size of the opportunity for the simple reason. As of now, only Kent Betwa is taking some shape. Therefore, till such time the interlinking of rivers takes shape, it will be only a wild guess whatever number we give. Therefore, I don't want to give any number at this point. But this is an opportunity which we will be seriously looking at.
Okay, and lastly, sir, on the IPO proceeds, we received 1,250 crore from the IPO which towards the company, and press issuance was to the tune of 4,000 crore. I mean, how was the proceeds bifurcated?
Ramesh?
Yeah, so we have received, the company has received 1,250 crores, and after adjusting for the issue expenses, the proceeds have been used by company. Of this, we received some, after the expenses, we received some 1,223 crores. We have used a large portion of it towards repayment of debt and towards working capital we have already utilized. The capex plan is earmarked for the capital payment what we are having. Those are going to be utilized in due course of time, because some payments are happening in November, some payment is happening in December, and some in January. And we are left with a small portion of general corporate purpose, which is earmarked for some of the forthcoming general corporate purpose expenditure by say this month end or maybe first week of December. So as far as the company's proceeds are concerned, the OFS portion has gone to the selling shareholder, which is Goswami Infratech, and they have used that towards repayment of the parent level debt.
Okay, sir. And lastly, sir, for this this session of the
parliament.
Okay, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I got a fair opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. My name is Barani from Avendus. So I have a question on margins. Now, can you give a split of margins between different segments, like how much it is in hydro and underground, how much it is in elevated metro, and how much is it in bridges?
So as far as margins are concerned, we are not giving segment-wise breakup of the margins. So we'll have to look at on a composite basis. But broadly, I can give you a guidance that generally our margins are better in underground metro, in hydro and underground, in marine, and also in overseas projects, we generate a better margin. But notwithstanding that, even in other sectors, since we have talked about our risk management framework and our the company's thrust or focus on project selection metrics, So we try to identify projects where we generate a better margin.
Okay, the reason why I'm asking is the trend generally we are noticing across your peers is that margin compression is happening. It is heartening to see Afcons doing the 10% plus without other income on core EBITDA margins. However, generally when economies mature, clients get more aware of how to eke out extra money out of the EPC contractors. Generally, the contractors face margin compression. Do you see that risk playing out for generally us too, because we are one of the largest contractors in the country?
This is where our risk management framework takes care of that. We are very selective in our jobs. And therefore, you will find in our case, over a period of time, if you look at it, our financials, we have consistently been improving on margins. So, while the margin compression could happen in general, primarily because of our project selection framework, we have been in a position to improve our margins on a consistent basis. Therefore, we don't expect any kind of margin compression pressures at this point of time, and which our due to our own practices, we will be in a position to manage it much better.
Sir, okay, loud and clear. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to understand that in your finance cost, there is a component of around 150 crores of bank guarantee commission or and other charges. I just wanted to understand, like, what is the nature of such commission, and is that something which will be occurring year on year or quarter on quarter? And the second question, sir, is on the net profit margin. So you have given an EBITDA guidance. So can you also just give a guidance that how your net profit margins would be on a long-term basis?
So answering to your first question of bank guarantee commission for the half year ended, we were around 88 crores we have incurred. And maybe you might be referring the last year's number of when we are referring 150 crores odd. So see, this bank guarantee commission is very much integral to construction business, wherein a company is required to provide the performance guarantee and advance payment guarantee and retention guarantee to their customers. And that's a very much a very obvious requirement for the contractor to provide. So that expenditure will be a continuing requirement, and that will be a continuing expenditure for the company. As far as the guidance on the net profit margin is concerned, so at the moment what we are talking about is EBITDA margin only, and basis that, since we have talked about that, we are looking at reduction in our finance cost and all that. So that should automatically translate into the net profit margin.
Got it. So basically, sir, that 3.5 to 4% which we spoke about earlier for the finance charges, that would include this bank guarantee commission, etc. So that would be the, let's say, a fair estimate of the bank finance charges for the company.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. The first question is, you had mentioned in your remarks that your working capital constraints had limited your order inflows, sort of, which you saw over the last year or so. Post the IPO, what sort of resolution have you seen, and what incremental improvements do you see in the constraints which were there in the last 1 year?
So what constraints we were talking about in terms of bank limit, which was there, but those issues were already solved prior to the IPO, because in FY24 itself, we had got our bank limit enhanced from the banks. So we had a sizable enhancement in our bank limit, and that bank limit will take care of, you know, companies maybe couple of years order booking requirement. And generally banks, they, as per the prudential norm, they sanction 9 times of the net worth, the total bank limit. And today, if you look at from the net worth perspective, we are before IPO we were somewhere around 6 or so, and post this IPO we'll be somewhere around say 4.25 kind of range. So we'll have enough headroom if there is a requirement for further bank limit to go back to bank for asking further limits. So I hope this answers your question.
So let's say if you were to quantify this, what are your fund-based and non-fund-based limits at this point of time, and how much is utilized?
So we have around 20,700 crores of total bank limit. Of that, 1,800 crores is fund-based limit, and 18,900 is non-fund-based limit. In terms of utilization towards the fund-based limit, maybe we'll be somewhere around say 50-55% kind of utilization we'll be having. And as far as the non-fund base is concerned, we have got a sizable limit which is free. We'll be utilizing somewhere around, say, 14,500 to 15,000 crore kind of a bank limit.
Understand. Okay. And the second question is, you mentioned that the mix of the order book is more towards domestic at this point of time. And generally what we understand is, and you also said that overseas has higher margins, and I would assume overseas would have lower operating cycle as well. So given that the mix is more domestic at this point of time, do you expect some pressure of margins because of that, and similarly on working capital, or that's not the right way to look at it?
Yes, sir. Go
ahead, Ramesh.
You answer, sir.
See, we have, while in general whatever you have stated is right, currently, we have by and large focused on selecting the jobs in such a manner in the domestic market also, which are reasonably good margin. And also in terms of operating cycle, we don't expect much of an issue on account of this. Therefore, we don't expect on account of some change in the mix of between domestic and overseas jobs at this point, which is short term, I would call it, there will be change in the margin pattern. We will be in a position to sustain our margins as informed by our CFO, north of 11% at EBITDA level.
Sure. Okay. And just one last question, if you can help. Generally, how much of your work do you subcontract annually, or is it largely done yourself captively?
We look to have about 30% of our work subcontracted. Today we are somewhere between 22 to 25% of our work getting subcontracted. We intend to move to 30% subcontracting. We don't give back-to-back subcontract totally. Any activity-specific subcontracting, we give it. Which typically, less value-added jobs is a kind of work where voluminous work, where subcontractor also will be very comfortable. Those are the kind of work we try to give on subcontract basis.
Sure. Okay. That's all for my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call and answering all the queries very patiently. Wishing you all the very best, and thank you to all the participants for the participation. Thank you very much, sir. Any closing remarks from your end?
Thanks a lot for this excellent investor conference, earnings conference rather. It has been very enjoyable and nice for us, as we are participating in it for the first time. We would like to engage more and more with all of you. Thank you for this opportunity.
And we also look forward, all of you, to stay with us in the longer term, and you will find the value grow.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.